No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Luxe Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew? In a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam hands-free from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Luxe Cafe.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Happy hump day, Jay Foreman, DP. When we get it on the screen, you got my man Harrison on the ones and twos. This is old school, not the new school way. This is the OG way, triple OG way. We're coming at you live, 1040 O Street. We are brought to you by the Mercado, Certified Piedmontese Special Ingredients Butcher Shop, 84th and Havelock, 30th and Yankee Hill, 85th and Andromat / Old Cheney, and 168th and Maple up there in the O. Beautiful day outside, a lot going on as always. Obviously, this is about a week and a half in the Husker camp, and we'll talk about that. We could talk about T. Farley teed it up with the possibility of alternate uniforms and what that means. I mean, obviously, if you didn't see the news, alternate uniforms just isn't for college. You see in the pros, Cincinnati Bengals have decided that they're going to wear, which is probably one of the sweetest uniforms out there. They're all white helmets and white uniforms, black stripes for when they play Pittsburgh. So we'll see, how it all goes. A lot is going on. And, we're going to tee up some more, audio from Coach Butler as of yesterday when he was talking about physicality and so forth and so on. And I think it's a unique, I think DP and Harrison are more obviously DP. I think every football season, I don't even say this locally, but I just think nationally, everybody has like a catchphrase or a word, right? Like that they generally always
culture. Culture.
It was culture a couple years ago. Buy-in before mm-hmm. that. Strategic planning. Obviously recruiting is at the forefront. There goes Steve Sipple right there. Steve Sipple just drove past. He gave us the look over the shoulder and like, look at you chumps. I hope he's listening right now. I hope you're listening, Sipple. I saw that. He didn't even want to wave though. That's a bad thing about Sipple. Sipple's the type of dude. He probably walked right past you. Or he's either going to walk past you in public or walk up to you, Harrison, and punch you in your chest. Say, hey, man, Harrison, how you doing? As you're trying to catch your breath.
This was him in Big Ten media, right? So we're on media, we're on Radio Row, mm-hmm. right? But Sipple's there as a writer, so he's working in different circles. Standing outside, and Maryland coach Mike Locksley comes up, and he's shooting the breeze. And Steve Sipple,
hey, DP, what are you? When'd you get here? This is awesome. This is awesome. How you doing? Hey, it's busy.
Hi, Steve.
That sounds like Sipple. I got the word from the year.
It's, hey, what do you see? Yeah.
What do you see?
What do you see?
What do you see?
I think everybody's had an encounter with Sipple that you always walk away from. Like, what happened?
Squirrely guy.
Yeah.
If I could. Squirrely. Best way. Yeah.
But quirky, squirrely guy. Squirrely. Good dude.
Or, yeah.
He came in one time and like was like grabbed me on the show. He's like, oh man. He's like, you aren't that big. You aren't that big. And then another time he's like he comes up, he's like, Jay Foreman. You're a decent player. What'd you think? I was all right, Sip. Thank you for your, you know, validation.
we needed that from you.
Yeah. I need you to tell me that I was
like,
all right.
You know, right. You know, no, he does so. Everybody know, like I'm a fist bump dude, right? Fist bump, especially if I come up, hey DP, fist bump. Stephen Sipple has this undefeated streak of getting it wrong.
Yeah, he like Tiger Woods and his caddy when they was it Tiger and his caddy,
where he always forgets whether I'm a handshake or fist bump dude, and I recognize that he is going to mess up. So whatever, it's rock paper scissors with Sipple. Every single morning of, okay, I got to pause. Like natural rhythm, Coach Bush, fist bump, Jake, fist bump, Rudy, fist bump. Simple. If I offer the hand, he's going to fist bump. If I offer the fist, he's going to offer the hand. And it is without fail. So I'm just like, what are we doing? Like, what are we doing, man? He's an enigma. That's
so I had a friend. Named Jason Dickey, growing up when I first moved to Minnesota. And he would never do, you know, he would hit you on the shoulder or anything like that. He would always come up and just like kick you in the shoe, like, what's up, man? You know what I'm saying? Like you're standing there, just come kick you. And hey, Harrison, what? That's simple.
Yeah, which is when
you got your white Air Force Ones
yeah,
on.
Yeah, yeah. It's the simple scene.
Simple was skinning them up.
It's the scene from do the right thing.
Yeah, that's simple.
Simple is the step on the shoe guy.
And you say, oh, just some shoes.
It's just some shoes. You know, bugging out, loses his mind. Yeah, no, that's simple. That, and he always, that's his first thing with me. He looks at what shoes you wearing there, DP? What do you got there?
Well, simple means
what
business.
What do you got there?
He starts with.
What do you got there, DP? Looks like some new Husker Adidas.
Yeah.
Nice. Nice.
And he thinks about it. Thinks about it. Anyway, Steve Sipple just passed us. Obviously, the Huskers are well into camp. And, you know, I'd like I was saying before, I think it's every year has a, you know, nationally, they have their catchphrase. This culture. What's the other one that, well, this isn't had to do with football, but remember when everybody, when guys got drafted, they said it was a surreal moment. I had to Google what that meant. Like, Doug, yeah, it's a great moment. Surreal. Like, everybody, you know, it's always something. And so I think, you know, talking about physicality of tackling and stuff like that, which always you play in a collision sport in football, you're going to have to tackle. And, you know, you're playing against good players. You know, I think the best tackling teams, everybody thinks tackling comes down to, you know, Harrison's across the street, he's coming, and then I just run into him and blow him up. The best tackling teams are the ones that set each other up. Meaning, if you set the edge, I'm the alley guy, and DP's the cutback guy. Everybody knows what we're doing. We do it the right way. We do it with a purpose. We do our job, then go play football.
The Rock said it. Stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. Do your job. Know your role. Shut your mouth.
But I think sometimes people take it too, like, is it literal when that's the only thing you do?
Yeah.
Yeah. Take it too literal. Like, do your job, or stay in your lane, do your job, and then go play football.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you make the hustle play. You take whatever your assignment is on defense once that's taken care of.
Yeah, set the edge, destroy the block, and then go get the ball carry. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when people were talking about, I mean, I think, you know, I think we are, I know we have the audio for Coach Butler. You know, it's probably hard for him coming to the pros. You ask him this question. It's always kind of like, all right, well, is this an easy answer? And you're trying to make it something harder. If the team's doing what they need to do, and as long as they do it, their assignments, and everybody, you know, does what they're supposed to do, you'll be fine. Now, I want to ask you guys this. I think I don't know. I go back and forth. I think I've seen guys. I've seen it. I can, on one hand, I can count the guys, both good and bad, that surprised me when pads came on. I think you can find. I think you know without the pads, because if you work a certain way, you're going to be physical. That's just who you, in lifting weights isn't necessarily physical, but how you approach it. Now I've seen about five guys. I'll never forget when I got down to Houston, and it's always, you know, maybe the guy that talks the most, DP. We had a guy and he ended up being a decent, but his name was Jason Lamar. And he had played in Canada, and I got traded. So they already were in the off season stuff. So I come in and, you know, I'm just trying to, you know, get in where I fit. And he's like, you know, Jason Lamar, but you can call me Black Cat. I was like, oh, okay. Well, I mean, so then I'm like, okay, cool, you know, Black Cat, you know? And so I was like, well, where you get the name from? Well, he was like, hey, I'm black as night and I'm quick as a cat. Oh, well, there you go. All right. Now, when we, in shorts, my man was like a mix between Ray Lewis, London Fletcher, and Lawrence Taylor. Now, in pads,
couldn't bust up great.
Yeah, he just couldn't get it going, and he didn't. He always felt like he could run around. Now, I think that was a little bit of playing in Canada, but then obviously playing in the back then, you know, you really had to button press and destroy blocks, and so that's probably offhand. There's a couple other guys, but I think, you know, the pad thing, I think it's good to see it. I think the pads are just, I think it shows you who's willing to hit and who's willing to do the right things longer. You get what I'm saying? I don't think it changes who you are. Like, I think if you practice hard and you practice the right way, the pads just kind of are on this. It ain't going to change how I approach.
If you're physical in pads, you're physical in shorts.
Yeah, within reason.
Right?
Yeah.
But Dom Capers used to talk about that he was the first person I heard say that he saw there was a different depth chart when the pads went on. Like, there's some dudes that look really good. They look really good in the spring. They look really good in minicamp. The ability to finish plays, he said, was the ultimate sign of a professional. I don't know if Dom ever, the ability to finish the play. He goes, in this league, 90% of the players can get to the right place at the right time.
The really elite
players finish the play. Montana makes the throw that nobody, he talks about, you know, the catch, right? He goes, but it's really in the throw that you had two people who just out finished Dallas on the biggest play in their history. That Dwight Clark was like, no, I'm not missing this ball.
Yeah.
Like, and I need to come down with it. Montana, he avoided four people and then threw over the top of the two tallest defensive linemen in the league to the one place Dwight Clark could make a catch.
Right.
And I would imagine that when we talk about Nebraska, what we know versus what we think we know. There are a lot of dudes that look good in the underwear Olympics. Look good. But when it's 15 degrees in October against a Big Ten opponent, can you finish?
Yeah.
Can you finish the play? Can you finish whatever the thing is? Tackling, blocking. You know what? The dudes get tired in late November. They're hurt. But when the play means something the most, can you finish?
Yeah.
And there's a difference between that dude and a whole bunch of practice All-Americans.
They do exist. I just think it's – I mean, they do exist. I just think it's – if you're at this point, I don't think there's a big drive. I think really what it comes down to right now is you're in that weird area of, okay, you're excited football. You got a game in 23 weeks. But then you still got a game in 3 weeks. And how much work are you willing to do and extra work you're willing to do while you wait? Now, how does that correlate to finishing plays or being physical? Is in this day and time when you're paying college players, you got to learn how to practice like a pro. And practicing like a pro is practicing the same way with the same intention, intensity, pad level, hand placement, whether they have half pads on or the spider, you know, like the foam deals or walkthrough, footwork and all that on a day in and day out basis.
Because were there ever dudes that you played with or played next to? Let's say on what? So give me two linebackers. Give me three linebackers you would line up with.
That I played with?
Yeah, any year.
Oh, I'd probably definitely Sam Cowart, Jamie.
Right.
You know, yeah, myself, right. Yeah.
And if let's just say it's Eric Dickerson, turn the corner.
Mm.
If Sam Cowart was first one to the ball, your mindset is different than if it was Jamie's.
Yeah.
Right?
And it's not
disrespect.
Yeah.
It is just, you know, and then whoever was behind Sam on the depth chart.
I think it really changes with behind the depth chart.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't think both of those guys could.
Playmakers, right?
Finishers. And I know they had to finish.
But if it was somebody else.
Yeah. But that's just part of it. You got it. But that also is part of if you're a veteran playing with like a younger player or a player that doesn't have experience. There's no difference between, say, a freshman comes in and he has the height, weight, size, speed that you need, strength, but he's a freshman versus somebody that's been here 3 years and he hadn't played. There isn't any difference. They both are inexperienced. So when you are an experienced player, you have to be able to bring people up along with you and understand there will be some mistakes. And if you think it's just college that they're saying it, it's not. I saw Fred Werner, who's head and shoulders the best linebacker in the league, talk about how San Francisco drafted three defensive linemen. He's like they got to get into our system. There will be mistakes. He's like, but it's up to us as veterans. We got to make up for it. That's no different than college.
Right.
And but as far as like guys that practice at different rates, there was a couple, you know, and those guys you just kind of you get the dime on them real quick, you know. But you know, I think some guys practice a certain way. And you were okay with it because they earned that, you know, we used to call it sweat equity, where they were, you know, made enough plays, where then there were some guys that when they knew it was half speed, they're going full speed. Well, you're wasting your time and our time doing that because nobody's getting anything out of it, because there's a reason why Coach Wade Phillips wanted us to practice at half speed in the NFL is because he wanted us to be fresh at the end of the season. Now, where they're at right now is just guys got to learn how to practice the right way, prepare the right way. Don't think you have another day. You know, today's the most important day. Today's your game day. Your meeting is your game day. Your lifting session or your recovery, all that's important. I think that's the hardest thing to do is get guys to understand that. And I had to learn it. So I'm not talking about this from like a place that I didn't learn on the hard way, learning that when I went from Buffalo to Houston, the cold tub is my best friend, even if I'm not hurt, because that heat, that humidity, the way Dom Capers was running training camp, boy, you better be able to rehydrate, you better be able to recover, and you better be able to perform, because one thing that he's going to find out before anything else is how tough you are, and can he depend on you? And especially when you're on the defensive side of the ball.
Well, what part of that, and Dom used to talk about it in Carolina, was he his trust level in a player was found out in the conditioning day one.
Because it lets you know whether, listen,
if I can trust you, you did the work before we got here.
This man, this man would be out, I'll never forget, man. He'd bring it, this dude was like diabolical, Harrison, okay? So I get traded down there. It's 72 degrees and sunny in Buffalo. No humidity. You know, we're running and stuff and doing our thing. I get traded down there. I get off the play. I'll never forget it. 96 degrees. Okay. At this little, like, executive airport. They fly you down there private. 90% humidity. I get off the plane. I'm full-on drenched by the time I – and their Houston, Texas offices were just in a regular corporate building then. So we taking elevators up to like the 8th floor. You know, it's not, we didn't have a facility yet. So he's like, oh yeah. He's like, you know, then you get to the office and he has a thing. He has a whiteboard up there. He's like, okay, this is our defense. And I kind of knew 3-4 because I knew about Pittsburgh and my agent had a couple guys and knew Dom. I heard about him. But the half of the thing over here was the conditioning test. And your man, like, it was we ran 40s. And I think we ran like 28 40s. So you'd run 14, get a little bit of break, and then another 14. And he at the line. And he felt like that would show him everything. Can he depend on you? Can he trust you? How mentally tough you were? Were you willing to finish at a certain standard, right? Like, so say like you know, the biggest thing in those things is that you got to be able to run them at your pace and then be able to walk and recover at your pace and get back at the line because you're kind of a cardio thing. But he wanted to see if you were going to finish through the line.
Were you going to start behind the line and you're going to finish through the line?
And you're going to finish. And then, you know, how strong were you going to finish? And you learned it. And then defensively, it was taxing. Like as far as the scheme, we changed it up almost every week. Now we had our base stuff, but he would put a lot of onus on the players to be able to communicate under fire. Like we would do this thing that where we would do our end. We were one of the few teams that conditioned after practice, but he would condition us. And then he wouldn't be full conditioning. He would condition us 2 minute drill or red zone and then finish with conditioning. Cause he wanted to see how you were under pressure. And then once you kind of got the method to his madness, and understand where he was getting to, it was fine. I mean, I've seen guys tap out. There was a guy that played for the Cowboys that won, I think he might have won us a couple of Super Bowls. Just said, I'm out of here. Harrison literally ran we were in the middle of the second 14 of the 40s. He came back, just went right out the field, got out and left. I ain't never seen nothing like that in my life. I said, dude, we three quarters, we on the home stretch. And everybody's there to try to get you because you go DBs. You know, DBs and the receivers. Because
you don't want to run with, you don't want the big guys running with the little.
Yeah, because and that's where you build that camaraderie. And then you got the linebackers and the tight ends and those guys. And then you got the linemen that go. So you're trying to, I mean, it's hard. Homeboy hey, listen, DP, we ran 20, 40, 14, 6. We're going back to the starting thing because we got to go all the way around. Mm-hmm. He just walked right out. So this is too much for me.
Deuces. it was like, because in Carolina, and I didn't know any of this, right? Like I'd been to Carlisle and I'd been to Redskin Park for a couple of those. But the first year I was with Carolina, I didn't know anything. I walked in brand new to see what the deal was. And the fact that I went and asked him directly, okay, are you okay with my being here? And again, I was new there. And he goes, no, I want you to be here.
Oh, yeah. He wants you to see this.
I want you to be here. I need you to get out to the public and let them know what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
Like how hard we're working.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, okay, coach. Now, he had that black line running. Yeah. He had the hairspray running.
Yeah.
Right? But then to watch, first of all, in Carolina, you're down in South Carolina. So you're down there, and at their training camp, there are no trees. There are zero Spartanburg, South Carolina. Like that was the first thing I know. Like I was like I'm looking around because in Redskin Park there's some trees for me to like post up under, get some shade. Nah, bro, and they are laughing. They are laughing. Oh, and I forget the GM's name. He's Mike McCormick. McCormick from the Colts. And he walks up and puts his hand on my shoulder. And I had a great T-shirt, Panthers T-shirt. And he left his hand there. And I was kind of trying to figure out what it was going to be. And he was like,
no one plans for hair loss. But through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Get your exterior painting to-dos done easily with Dutch Boy Pristine Exterior Paint. With its rain-rinse technology, rain naturally washes away dirt and grime. Plus, it resists cracking and peeling, making it perfect to withstand the harshest weather conditions. Save big money on Pristine Exterior Paint and start your painting project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. He raises his hand, and then his handprint has sweated into the shirt.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, yep, 97 degrees.
Dom was not playing no games. My man, I used to call him the Cobra. Because my man did not miss lat. You know how they guys said, don't miss leg day? Mm-hmm. He missed lat day. Dom was in some shape. And his training camps were notoriously hard. And we picked up a guy named Jeff Posey. I'm going to say this real quick before we go to break. And me and him kind of came. I was there first, and they picked up Jeff, as a free agent deal. Mm-hmm. And we had because we had an outside linebacker that, got hurt. And he was from Southern Mississippi. So we kind of had a connection. My mom's side of the family, he's from Mississippi, Meridian. He's from around the way. And so we would, carpool together, back and forth, because they, I had a car. Practices used to be so hard in the off season. So Jeff was like big man, big into his faith and stuff like that. And in church, my man would be singing church hymns or whatever they call them. And he would put the CD in. This is how long we had CD. He would put the CD in. Dear Lord Jesus, we made it. And he'd be singing back to the locker room. It was like the Junction Boys when we was down in Houston. Dudes were flying, dropping like flies.
You can have that. You can have like coaching down there. I 2 days, and they said the first day the coach said 2 days start at 5 a.m. I was like, why? They're like, no. You'll understand.
Oh yeah,
you'll understand. Yeah, that
8 o'clock. 8 o'clock in the morning was our first 2-a-day, right? And then we would do at night.
How long were the practices when you were doing it?
Like 3 hours. But here, 8 o'clock in the morning is the first one. Then you have meetings all, you eat lunch and lift and all that. Then we have a night practice, which was a full on war. We were doing goal line and stuff. And then Dom was like, oh yeah, on our one-a-days, he's like, he's doing us a favor. He's like, we're going to practice when the heat index is at the highest. So we're in he's telling us this.
Which was anytime after 8 o'clock.
Right. Like, look. He's like, but then he put up the chart though.
Right.
He's like, over the last 5 years, this is when the highest heat index is generally around this time. This is when we're going to practice because that means that we'll have an advantage. No, we just dumber.
That was where the Apostles' Creed was coming out in those late practices.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Jeff was singing the whole time. Here's the best part. We did a joint practice with Denver. Mike Shanahan came down there and went through one of our practices. He said, nah, we're done. he said, listen, we got hat day tomorrow. They were laughing at us. We're out in full pads. They got hat day. They were in our indoor facility. They were in and out of there. We ain't even got through blitz period. And we played them. We played them that Saturday or whatever the preseason game was. They was laughing. Shannon Sharp and everybody was laughing at us. Wearing hat. Blake, remember Blake Brockenmeyer?
Yeah.
He told me because he was at Denver at the time. We were riding the trolley over there. He's like, yeah, I hate Dom. He's like, he took 5 years off of my career.
Oh, no. He was there in Charlotte. Yeah, he was in Charlotte.
He was in Carolina. He was one of their first draft choices. He said practices were too hard.
Him and Skrepinek and Matt Elliott. Those are my guys.
He said he took years off his career. Why he wearing a hat and I'm in full pads? I'm hot as fish grease. These dudes out here in training camp are doing a walkthrough, and we got inside-outside run. Play action and blitz.
Did you hear guys doubting, or everyone's like,
no, yeah, Broncos no choice. Are just being soft. Everybody trying to get a check. Everybody get a check. You got to do what you got to do, man.
The fact that you said Brockmeyer makes it, it's yeah. just, that's hilarious.
And the fact that he was
he's a Texas guy.
The fact that he was from Texas.
He's a Texas guy.
And was talking to me. And I was like, I didn't really like him anyways. But what we got to do is we got to go to break. We'll come back. We'll still talk a little Husker camp. I think at the top of the hour, we'll probably queue up some.
Oh, he asked the question. What's worse, South Carolina Heat or Nebraska mid-August? It ain't even close, bro.
Who do you think? What do you think?
That South Carolina Heat was different.
I've been in both. I'm saying Nebraska. Nebraska, like the last Monday and Tuesday, was the closest.
It gets worse when you get in the real small towns, because then that corn sweat. I mean, that's all there is corn. It honestly feels better in Lincoln and Omaha. You get the small towns, it's pretty bad.
Yeah, South Carolina got the only reason South Carolina got them like them bugs, man.
Nebraska's not too bad on bugs. Yeah.
Anyways, we'll take a quick break. Come back. We'll talk a little bit more Huskers, and then we'll queue up some audio. Jay Foreman. DP Harrison, we'll be right back.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
What up, second segment on this Wacky Wednesday? Jay Foreman, DP Harrison on the ones and twos, Old School. These guys out there, are those Harleys?
I reckon. I don't know. I'm not a big bike guy, but they look like Harleys.
Yeah, they look like Harleys. They got their jackets on, so they little biker cruise in effect, not running up and down O Street. Second seven, talk a little bit of Husker football. I think at the top of the hour, Harrison will queue up some.
Still got some Butler audio, and well, Williams too, if you want that. I don't know, we didn't get too much Williams yesterday.
Yeah, we can do either or. Is that Williams? Is it DB?
Yeah, Addison Williams. Addison. He took over, obviously, with John Butler going to
defensive coordinator. Let's see what Addison Williams has to say.
All right. Let's see. We got someone on him talking about difference with Nebraska's fall camp with other versus places.
So. That'd be good.
This is no knock on anybody. I've been in some really great places and worked for some really good football coaches, but the culture here is unbelievable. And just the locker room, I would say it's probably one other time I've been around something. That was 2020 when I was at Coastal Carolina. That was a really special year. And it was COVID, so it was a lot going on that year. But just how close the guys are in the locker room and how we can go out there and we battle every single day. But as soon as the whistle blow, coach calls everybody's hugging and they're in the locker room playing around and joking around. It's really, really powerful to see the guys coming together like that. So I would say that's probably the biggest thing.
Coach Speak, are you buying it?
No, I think they got a good – you know, a good locker room. I think, I've said this. I think, when Mickey took over, I think it changed it a little. I think it kind of upped it, you know, because Mickey's been in some good locker rooms, obviously, just coming from LSU. So I think that helped out a lot. And then I think when Matt Rhule took over, he's taken it to a whole nother level, and it's been a work in progress. And so, you know, I think, you know, Coach Addison has been different places and seen different things, and you know what it looks like. And that's a big part of what, you know, have been missing in maybe in some previous staffs is a locker room that's, you know, tight knit, you know, and, you know, really enjoyed, you know, being around each other. And that's, you know, I think that the one thing that people don't understand that when you think about a locker room and I was just talking to a friend about this. At halftime in an NFL game, I've seen guys throw hands. I mean, throw hands and go right out there and literally walk out with each other. The game is, all right, this is what we're going to do, and you better do it. I mean, there's a story of Deion Sanders stealing on one of the safeties when he was in San Francisco because he wasn't doing the right coverage over top. And so I think – and now that's an extreme case, but what I'm saying is when having a good locker room – it is a mix of things, but it has to, when you have a good locker room, everybody has the same purpose and obviously wants to be there. And you know, they know when you're playing football, if you get into a little scuffle or you get beaten it's nothing personal. It's just part of the game. And then you're able to kind of rinse and repeat and then continue to build on to bigger and better things.
Well, we would ask, what are we doing? That would tell me answer all that question. Like, what are we doing? And that means somebody standing up front, identifying a thing needs to be done. What collected everybody? Everybody's connected, like everybody's accountable, and then making a decision right there to get busy on it. Like, what are we doing? And if you're ignoring all that stuff, good luck. good luck, because you're going to allow some things to happen and get through that don't deserve to happen and shouldn't happen in that space anyway. But I still lean on this, Jay. I'm curious to know who's going to lead this team. And whether it's to lead them in drills, lead them in practice, lead them in you know, after practice, to lead them into games, to lead them to become what the culture is supposed to be like, since yeah. that's a code word, right? Code speak, you know, what's the culture?
Yeah.
The culture is the thing that everybody says to each other all the time. All the time. Like, Jay, here's what we need to get better at today.
Yeah.
If that's not happening, you're in a bad spot.
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's, you know, even though that, you know, like when I played, we had really good captains, right? And so that's what people always look at, like, okay, you know, who are the captains? I think really we also had like sub-captains, I guess, if you want to call, I don't know what you would call them in the structure, which is guys that led the different position groups. Mm-hmm. And then obviously then you had the guys that, it's kind of like a board of directors and all that other stuff. And then you have guys that are secondary captains within position groups. And so I think they have, you know, like, offensively, obviously, is Dylan, right? And probably Evans, you know, just because those guys are too connected, offense, and then obviously offensive lineman, then obviously quarterback. And there's other guys too, like Latosky. Obviously, he would, you know, obviously be looked at just because he went to Big Ten media days. And then, you know, obviously in the wide receiver room, it's got to be, you know, Dane Key, he's the elder statesman, and he's taken on that role, right? Mm-hmm. And then probably Lindemeyer in the tight end room, because he's the elder statesman, he's taken on that role. They have welcomed that. And then obviously on defense, you know, with the three, you know, elder, you know, probably all the DBs, really, you know, those Sierra Wright in there, and then obviously Hartsog, Singleton, and Buford. Mm-hmm. There's then now you're really, really trying to focus on the first and second level. So I'd probably say, you know, Cam Linhart and probably Van Poppel, just off the top, if I had to just guess off the top of my head.
We do got Williams too. Someone does ask him about merging leaders on the team.
Williams.
Addison Williams, he's asked, so yeah, we can play that real quick,
yeah,
if you want it.
Yeah, there's plenty of guys, and he probably knows better than me.
All right, let's go ahead. This is
Williams. Better.
Yeah. Let's hope he does.
I would say it's multiple guys. Deshaun is being more vocal than what he has been in the past, which is good to see. Marquise, he's always been a vocal guy, so he's doing a good job as well. And there's a couple of the other guys that we're trying to, you know, push to do a little more. Malcolm, he's a really quiet guy, but I do see Malcolm at times pulling guys off to the side and coaching them up, so that's definitely a step in the right direction. And then Sierra is another guy that is emerging as a leader in that room, and he does the same thing as Malcolm, pulling guys off to the side, and he's also becoming a bit more vocal in front of the room as well. So I would say those four guys are the ones that are standing out as leaders.
Yeah, I mean, those guys, I mean, it just be because they've been here, but then also it's their personality. And then, you know, his family, like, you know, they got a good combination. It's really good to hear that Deshaun's, you know, doing a little bit more, you mm-hmm. know, or speaking a little bit more. And then, you know, probably Watson Trent, you know, obviously at the second level. Javen, you know, for sure. And then there's probably going to mix of guys. I think they got good leadership, guys that just got to being a leader, this is the hardest thing to do when you're put in, you know, whether it's by choice, chance, or circumstance when you're in a leadership role, is that it's almost like you instantly become a parent. And not apples to apples sense, is everything that you have to do, that you do, has to have a bigger purpose. And then also you have to make sure that everybody else is okay. And I was fortunate enough to have to play, not have to, but play middle linebacker. So I had to do it right away, you know what I'm saying, in my second year. And so it just is something that you had to grow into. Was I the best leader or whatever by everything? No, but I had good examples and good, you know, representation to look at of, you know, Phil Ellis and Doug Coleman and Ed Stewart and all those guys. So I was able to watch them. So I think these guys also know the work that they put in and day out is something that the leadership will also, it'd be something that you don't have to say. Because they'll know the standard of, you know, holding each other accountable, being on time, being early and not just there when the, you know, stuff starts, doing the little things that you need to do. I don't know, whatever, if they have a certain like routine that they have before practice, that's what you got to do. If guys are watching tape after, oh, well, I mean, they're not game week, but watching tape after a certain practice, then everybody's there. Everybody has to make, you know, a sacrifice for this thing to go. And so certain guys will be able to push those buttons. I'm sure they got some sort of version of unity council or guys that they look at and make sure they check the temperature of the team. And they probably have guys that notice things and feel very, you know, the biggest thing is you want to make sure that if you notice things as a player, you know, like say, hey, we're a little tired. Not that we want a day off or think we're entitled to a day off. Hey, we need a little bit of a, you know, kickstart, or, you know, can we do this? Then it's when you've built up that sweat equity, like I say, and also accountability equity, it's received in a better way versus, all right, I've only been around here a couple times, right? Like guys in the past, like kind of been half in, half out, but then they didn't want to, you know, play in the bowl game or didn't want to play or practice. You get what I'm saying? And so I think, you know, these guys are doing the right things. They just got to continue to do it and continue to do it and continue to do it. And you got to do it even if you don't see the payoff initially.
What is the line for identifying what needs to be done? Like, I think in leadership, it gets lost sometimes. There are people that want to lead, but they don't know what that means. Like, what are the things that need to be done, that needs to be said? And it's different for every team every year.
Yeah, I mean, I always say this. You could have a team, the 95 team, because we're going to celebrate them here in a few weeks, is special because that team did everything perfectly that year, start to finish, January 1 to whenever we finished the season. There was nothing missing. That team was indestructible.
Or was that more player-led at that point because Osborne put in the seeds?
Well, I think that was a byproduct of 94, which was a byproduct probably of 93. Mm-hmm. And then 95, we had really good talent, but we had a will, and we were at the apex. It was player-led. I mean, you know, I think it was Christian Peter or something like that. I know it was Christian, and something happened, and some guys were on down on O Street. He's like, hey, he kicked the coaches out. I said, listen. And I wasn't of age to go down there. And I had a fake ID or whatever. But
Allegedly.
Oh, I had one.
Allegedly.
The dude down there, you know where the Jimmy John's is down there? There used to be a little bar. The dude took it. Now, that was after we won now. But Christian was like, hey, man, listen. If we hear or we catch you down, like whatever our team rule was, down on O Street, don't even worry about the coaches. You got to deal with me. And you got to deal with us as seniors. There you go. Now, I think really the biggest thing that you do right now is obviously you got to do everything that you're asked to do. And then you got to do everything do more than what you're required to do within reason. Right.
So I got a question before we go to break. You don't have to answer it, but I'm just going to ask it anyway. What? So let's just say it was O Street back in the day, right? Uh-huh. Back in the day, 95. It's a Tuesday night and some folks are out.
Uh-huh.
The offense, the pipeline. Pipeline's out. And they're caught out past curfew by the black shirt front seven. How's that going to go?
Well, I mean, it's a Tuesday. I mean, if it's a day, it would be Thursday.
Okay, Thursday.
The pipeline. Well, the pipeline would never be out there like that. I mean, it was probably, you know, with some young dude or whatever, you know, just, right. You know, that just was, you know, riding the wave, or just guys that were probably feeling themselves a little bit, or there was like a lot of pressure of, you know, now granted, we didn't have the media attention, all that, but, you know, look, you got to batten down the hatches sometimes. You got to call guys to the carpet. I mean, I've been in the locker room where dudes be like, hey, man, you playing like garbage. Do better or else.
So you're saying that the pipeline was more disciplined than the black church?
No.
Harrison, what did that sound like to you?
No, I was saying they would never be down there. Like, we wouldn't be down there. Like, we were
never. The black church would never be down there.
Nobody on the team would be down
there. Okay, all right.
Like, you talking about breaking
curfew? Like, if you had those coachless meetings, and it was the pipeline with one point of view.
No, it was always the offense that, like, skill position. That's all it always was. Some little young punks. It was a little young punk because it's always here's the difference. It's the young guys are too scared. First of all, I was scared. Mm-hmm. I was starting as a redshirt freshman, and I was like, "Oh, you ain't got. First of all, I can't go down. You ain't got to worry about that, right?" But so the young guys are too scared to break the rules. The older guys know better. It's the in between, the guys that might play some, think they should be playing. Think they're not going to get caught, and then it always happens.
Harrison, you hear this? You see how it went down?
It's just hypotheticals.
Yeah. Just things you need
to know. It's always the offense, dude.
Things you have
to know. It's always them.
Things you have to know.
I'd guess like DBs and wide receivers. Those are the ones that yap the most.
I have to ask the question sometimes. All right, Harrison, get us the break, bro.
All right, don't go anywhere. We'll throw it to break. Old School DP, Jay Foreman. We'll talk to you guys in a bit.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
What up? We're back. Jay Foreman, DP, Harrison. It is confirmed. It's always offensive guys that break curfew.
Yeah, that's what all the local police reports say.
We had a guy. Listen, we had a guy in Buffalo. We're gonna tell the story real quick. He had a guy in Buffalo, man. I forget his name. He actually played. He was at Ohio State. Reggie Jermaine, I think, wide receiver from Ohio State. And my man was seventh round draft choice. When I tell you, he thought curfew was optional. He thought it was optional. And Danny Smith was a special teams coach, and he had a lot of talent. And then obviously, you know, he was probably more talented than where he got drafted.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there's reasons why, you know, whatever. And I'll never forget, man, Danny Smith was like, man, when they finally released him, he's like, I've been in the league and coaching X amount of years. And Danny's still coaching. He's at Pittsburgh Steelers. Everybody ever watch a Pittsburgh Steelers game, he's the one standing next to Mike Tomlin. He doesn't dip. He chews 85 pieces of gum. I mean, that's his deal. It's kind of like
The Bo Pelini gum?
Like, yeah.
Nicotine gum, or is it just he likes that?
No, just regular gum, like double
bite. All right.
And he's like, oh, man. He's like, yeah, we had to release, you know, Reggie Jermaine. He's like, in all my time, he's like, I never seen a guy fail a drug test with that type of percentage of weed in his system. And he was pregnant. So back then, this is how primitive was, that you could sneak, you could have somebody take a drug test for you.
That is some diabolical work.
Yeah. And everybody, did you think about everybody? Just everybody's kind of in there joking or whatever. The mm-hmm. first part he said it, what he said the last part when he was pregnant, everybody was like,
okay.
I guess that our out when we wanted to like try to maybe, you know, smoke a little weed or something, that's done.
There we go.
That option is done. You know, so now everybody went to GNC and start getting
practice.
They can start practicing for the test.
Look, like, yeah, I get some practicing test just to
At GNC, no. At GNC, you could get
coach. See,
yeah, no, you could get this at GNC. Supposedly, they had this like, you know, you'd have to drink like 15 gallons of this thing to kind of make sure you pass. Harrison, man, I'm telling you, boy, it was
a lot of work
That's crazy. That's how dumb we were sometimes in the pros up there acting like idiots. So anyways, you know, look, as Nebraska goes right now, let's queue up Coach Butler here at the top of the hour. You know, he talks about the physicality. Mm-hmm. I'm going to probably try to explain as easy as possible what that means.
I think Williams talks about physicality with the limited padded practices and how guys even deal with that. Cause like you see it every year where it's like, you watch this team bad at tackling and you get on them and it's like, they can do that stuff off the side. Sure. I don't know how much the coaches will love it. And on top of that, how much can they really do in practice?
Yeah, it'd be good. It'd be good because the rules are the rules. Exactly. And so you got to find ways to do it. So I'll give my opinion on that. But right now we're going to take a quick break, come back top of the hour, some audio, and what can or can't you do to possibly make sure your tackling skills are up to snuff for 12 games. Jay Foreman, DP Harrison, we'll be right back.
Love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Luxe Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew? In a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam hands-free from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Luxe Cafe.